guys can be able to hear me. Hi, everybody. How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for coming. It is a Friday morning, and I know some of you guys have been here since like 8 or 9 a.m., and you guys were the lucky ones that got in. So thank you so much to come this early. My name is Jessica Tsang. I'm with the Kaiju Kingdom podcast. I was also a Will Eisner judge in 2022, and it is my absolute pleasure to basically, you know, introduce to you guys these amazing gentlemen. We do have a third gentleman who is coming, and it is not only the 20-year anniversary of Godzilla Final Wars, and we have the director, Yui Kishimura, here. But also the 70th anniversary of Godzilla overall. You know, the gentleman next to him, Alan, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Okay. I am not from here and I did not dress for the weather, so.
Director Kitamura flew in from Japan, and then a few days I came here immediately. And just thank you for your devotion to the fans and all the people. That's incredible. And the reason why I bring that up is because Alan flew in from New Zealand to also be here. He is Kong and Scar King from New Empire. Cocaine Bear.
I did not bring any with me. Just thought I'd do that now.
Yeah. So to start off with the easy questions, what is your favorite Godzilla film?
I always say, you know, Mechagodzilla back in 1975. But I also did really enjoy the New Empire, which he was in.
Thank you very much. I'm relatively green when it comes to the full lineage of Godzilla and King Kong. I did grow up watching a lot of the Showa era films. I'm a huge fan of Nakajima-san and his work, and because of him, I went on to do suit acting for things like The Hobbit and stuff. So it's hard for me to say. Anything where Godzilla or King Kong fight other monsters is always going to be my favorite. So.
So to our special guest, Director Kitamura, Godzilla Final Wars was done when it was Godzilla's 50th anniversary. But this film is now the 20th anniversary. How do you feel it's been 20 years and people are still loving and enjoying your film?
I feel old. But every year, you know, I can't believe it was 20 years ago I made that movie, but every single year passed by, I've been feeling more like an honor, pressure, pride of being the Godzilla director. And I really appreciate that, you know, even after 20 years, you know, I mean, people all over the world still love the movie. So I'm very honored.
And we're going to cycle through images. Oh, yes. We have proof that he was, and that was TJ. And the reason why I asked this is because this is I can't read Japanese, but this is selected pages from an artist that talked about how when he was young, he watched Godzilla Final Wars, and it was his favorite film. Look at that face of the cat. How excited he was. And it really solidified him as a child and into an adult. And he really, like, started drawing. He loved it. And that was TJ, who also watched your film. But basically, he grew up and he loved it, and it really solidified in him over the years. This is somebody that is clearly younger than you, but what is it like having new fans and new generation of people watching your film, discovering it, loving it, and then being inspired by it?
Again, I feel old. I'm not that old, but it's great to hear that, you know, some younger generations all over the world, you know, who watches the movie. And I don't know, I mean, I wasn't really thinking when I was making this movie 20 years ago. You know, I was just throwing everything, you know, coming up in my crazy mind. And I just, you know, 20 years ago, the Godzilla franchise was kind of going down, almost dying in Japan. It didn't work. And Toho and the producer Tomiyama was brave enough to bring me in to kind of, you know, mess up with the Godzilla franchise for one last time. And that's what I did. So I was younger and I was very into it. So I wasn't really thinking about, you know, what happens after 10 years or 20 years. So like I said at the beginning, I'm very honored every single day. Like every single week I get a request of an interview from all over the world still now. So and to be honest, I'm kind of, you know, getting bored answering the same questions again and again. So today I'm hoping one of you guys, you know, ask me something nobody ever asked me. But, you know, I'm very honored.
We will be judging.
Thank you. And the gentleman that just walked through our door, TJ Storm, how are you?
What? Whoa,
Godzilla Kong is united.
Are you guys going to
sit with the audience?
Yeah, yes, it's so far away.
You guys going to show us fight or something?
Yep, watch. This is awesome.
That was awesome.
Yes.
You know, TJ, I had to pick this one to represent because everyone always wonders how you're standing in that one.
That's how I stand when I'm hungry and I'm stubborn and I'm not going to take another step until I get some food.
You know, the question we asked is, what was your favorite Godzilla film? And I think yours was Ghidorah. Was that one Ghidorah? Your father took you to that one, right, TJ?
For me, it was... I'm so sorry. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
For me, my father took me, the very first film I ever saw on a large screen, ever, any film, was called Godzilla vs. the Smog Monster.
Yes. Yeah.
And when you're like 5 or 6, that is terrifying. Mm. I don't know if you've seen it. The Smog Monster flies over the city, and wherever he flies, death follows. You just die. Because he leaves so much toxic fumes behind him. And I was like, and it was terrifying. So to see Godzilla come out and face the thing that would hurt people, I was like, yes! And that burnt into my soul. So that's my favorite.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that people do tend to ask is, do you think Godzilla will still have his popularity now if he didn't have such a colorful rogues gallery of all the other different kaijus that he fought? Because director Kitamura, in your film, you have Rodan, you have Anguirus, you have, well, not Manila, Manila's our friend. You have Ghidorah, you have King Caesar, you have so many that people loved and they were all in your film. So for each of your thoughts, do you think Godzilla would have remained this popular if he didn't have such a colorful rogues gallery?
Yes, not only the other kaiju monsters, you know, every era, every single movie, the Godzilla movies are very different. And I think that was a reason, because like the one TJ said in Ghidorah, when I was in Japan watching the movie, it was so different from any of the other Godzilla movies, and I loved it. And of course, some people hate it, but I think that's why Godzilla, after 70 years, is still that popular.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, TJ, so from Godzilla's point of view, do you believe Godzilla would still be popular today if he didn't have as colorful of a rogues gallery?
Godzilla's a star, first off. I'll tell you, I mean, I grew up loving it. He was by himself in the first film, and that was great, and that worked. It worked. Up, it's been 70 years. In fact, you can feel his presence now. Do you feel that?
Yeah, you're good. You're real good at this. Yeah, wow.
So, just like comic books, like everything else, there's something that you connect with in everybody. Mm. For me, watching the horror that we as humans couldn't do anything to stop that pollution monster from flying over, and then the one person who could stood up and did. Mm. That's awesome. But for other people, they love Anguirus. They love, I don't know what their love for that is. Other people, Mothra. Yeah. They who's a Mothra person? And some of those enemies become allies, and some of those allies become enemies. But in every case, I think we love the struggle, and we love the story, and we love the hero's journey, and that's what, in the end, I think this is what it's about, yeah?
I just want to say, we are in for a special 4DX ride. You hear while there is rumbling from what I assume is Hall H or something. Oh my goodness. So, Alan, that would be an awkward question for you, because you were seen as maybe an antagonist, Kong's character, but then became friends.
I mean...
Do you...
It's your classic odd couple. You know. I think to quote a saying that a lot of my friends say, like, you can judge the character of a person by the company they keep. And Godzilla, Kong, and all the other kaiju, they bring each other up. So they wouldn't be the same without each other. They're so colorful and they're so different. They each present unique challenges to these characters that seeing them overcome those challenges is really, really enjoyable. One thing I often point out is that Kong often has to think his way around the problem because he's faced with a giant atomic lizard that can shoot him. So he has to think his way around the problem. And that's something that is really endearing for that character. Where, as we saw in New Empire, Godzilla was like, okay, I need to obviously power up. Like, I need to bring out the big guns for this next fight. So you can see that these creatures are encountering a challenge and then overcoming that challenge in whatever way they do. And I think that's really, really, that's a really great way for, as you say, for us as viewers to connect with these characters.
Yeah. You know, we brought up... antagonists, or what we see now. Now, this is a moment from Final Wars. We hope the audio works, but if not...
You have to make the sound effects. Take that, Australia!
And the reason why I brought that up is because we were cheering the same time. That was an audience reaction. Someone had filmed it for social media. Everyone started cheering and screaming during this screening when they were watching it, because it was such an amazing... Zilla was all your idea. Am I correct?
Yes. Don't get me wrong, I love Roland Emmerich movie. I love ID4. So, there's no disrespect.
I believe Roland Emmerich was actually here yesterday at Comic-Con. I wish you could have told him to his face.
He was talking so much. No.
And that scene really resonated with a lot, to the point, I believe, they're making toys and figures out of it. It's amazing that those who feel a certain way in the 1998 film feel very different when they saw your film. It was almost like a cameo or like a special fan surprise for them. Starting with you, director Kitamura, when did it hit you, the surreal moment that came when you realized you are solidified in the Godzilla legacy and franchise? And then we'll do TJ and Alan. We'll start with you.
When did I...
when did it hit you? When did you realize that you were... Because your film also had a Hollywood premiere here in...
Here in Los Angeles,
north of us. When did it make it to you when you realized, oh my goodness, what I've done is forever cemented in legacy and history?
I knew it when I was making it. That's why I did it. And it was exactly like the right punch into the audience's, joke or something. So I knew it. When the producer Tomiyama-san told me that Toho actually owned the rights for that, the Zilla character, and we can use it. I said, we have to do it, because this is a Battle Royale, Godzilla versus all kinds of monsters, kaiju monster movies. So, the audience must, want to see that, Japanese Godzilla versus Hollywood Godzilla. And that was the only Hollywood Godzilla back then. So, it was kind of like a dream match for me. So, I knew that it's gonna grab the audience. I didn't know that even after 20 years, people cheer at that moment. But I knew it when I was making it.
That was less than 2 weeks ago. That video was less than 2 weeks ago. So TJ, when did it hit you? Was it when a toy was made of your character? Was it when you went to the premiere? When did it hit you? You realized that you were forever solidified in the Godzilla legacy.
When we did it, a lot of movies and video games in LA are super top secret, so they don't tell you what you're working on until you actually show up on the stage. And my friend said, hey, could you come, my friend Garrett Warren said, could you come down and help us? And I thought he wanted me to consult on some kind of movement for some movie they were doing. I didn't know what the movie was. So I showed up and we were on the stage and there was only three of us. And he looked at us and he goes, you're Muto number one, you're Muto number two, and you're Godzilla. And I'm like... It didn't connect immediately. And so the child in me was immediately going... But the adult professional in me was like, go on. And I had to hyper-focus because we were there to shoot now, and I had to perform now. And I'm like, great, let me see the model. That way it'll help me understand how I'm moving. And I took out my phone and I started immediately. I looked at the first Godzilla. I needed to connect with Haruo Nakajima's performance first. Can we give it up for Haruo Nakajima-san?
Yeah.
Because that's where it all began. And as I was looking it up, he's like, oh, yeah, they don't have a model yet. And I'm like, what? How am I supposed to move? I don't know. He goes, we got to create it. And then they're going to do the model at the same time. And maybe what you're doing is going to affect the model. And what they do will affect you when you finally see it. So I was like, all right, okay. So I started like this. And they're like, no, give him wider shoulders. I know he's going to be bigger than before. And I'm like, how big? And so I kept making it bigger and bigger. And I looked at Nakajima-san's performance and the people that came after, and then I kind of melded it together, and the studio was like, bigger. And I'm like, bigger? Okay. And eventually they found something they liked. So after doing all of that, you're so focused on the work, you don't think, someday I'm going to be a god. You know, there's not a thing that enters your mind. And then, quite honestly, you forget that you did it, because I immediately... The next week, I jumped on Call of Duty, and after that, I worked on something else. So I forgot that I did it. And then the posters start coming out, and I'm like, that looks cool. Wait, is that me? And they didn't show it during the commercials. They just showed a fin or something. So I remember going to the thing, and I watched the premiere. At the premiere, I was watching it. And first off, you're a kid. You forget that you were there for it. You're just like, cool. And then at the airport scene, he shows up and he fights. And then at some point, I'm just like, oh, man, this is good. I hope people dig this performance. You're just hoping that it's great. Yeah. And then at some point, blue light started to light up the smoke. And you hear this, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, yeah. What is that? Yes! And after that, I was happy.
Yeah. 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 So, Alan, for you, the franchise goes back even further, 1933. Mm. So not only are you immortalized as Kong, you're also in two Godzilla films.
Yeah.
When did that hit you?
It kind of still is. Peter Jackson made his version of King Kong in Wellington, in New Zealand, when I was there. I was studying at the time. And I got to see Andy Serkis doing the motion capture, which was kind of the beginning of my whole journey, really. So it feels weirdly close to home, but similar to your experience, DJ, I just got a random phone call one day from the team at Weta FX, and they're like, Alan, are you around? Can you come and do some mocap? Sure. What is it? And they're like, oh, it's just a Legendary Pictures thing. We'll have some more details when you arrive. I was like, okay. And then they arrived, and they're like, cool, so you're King Kong. You're waking up, and you're a bit groggy, and you, the sun is in your eyes, and then you get up, and you scratch your butt, and then you shower in a waterfall. Those were my notes. And I thought it was a joke. I was like, ha, good one, guys. Yeah, great. But then they showed some of the footage, and they showed the notes from Adam Wingard, and the previous footage they'd already shot with Kaylee Hoddle and Rebecca Hall. And it was all kind of, yeah, just every day we'd go in and we'd do bits and pieces and we'd do things. And then I got to pay bills, so I got another job afterwards and forgot about it. And this is it's very much a similar thing. You see posters and you see images, and you're like, oh yeah, I did the thing. That was the thing. And then I sat in the cinemas, and seeing him tear things in half and roar, and I was like, oh, this is super cool. But I was, I don't think I ever was like, good, here I am, this is me, I am Kong. And then I went to a convention and people were like, you're King Kong. And I was like, oh, right. Oh, yeah, I am. Okay, right. So it's very, very, the 8-year-old Alan Henry is going ballistic. He's just like, yeah, la, la. But like TJ, I have to be very calm and professional. But I often go to I've seen GXK like 9 times. Not as like a narcissistic, I'm so great, but as like 8-year-old Alan eating popcorn like, ha ha, hit him again, Kong, yeah. Yeah, so, that's a hard question to answer.
Could I ask you, what was the thing you tore? What, did you physically tear something, or did you just...
We had a lot of pieces of foam that Jake Boddinger, like, technician engineer at the studio, he would carve these things out of polystyrene and foam and then Velcro them or stick them together so that I'd have to tear things apart and throw them and eat them. I mean, I didn't eat polystyrene. I did once, but that was a different story. But yeah, they built stuff for me to tear and rip. It was very cool. Awesome. I felt super strong.
From the clip that we saw earlier, we saw it was a Sydney Opera House, which was a nice touch, I believe. Is that like a second home to you? Because you spent quite some time there?
Yes. When I was 17, I decided to become the director. And simply because, I was a huge fan of Mad Max movies and Australian rock band In Excess. And not quite Australia, but that was also like the band from Down Under called Crowded House in New Zealand.
So, yeah, right on.
And also one of my favorite movies, Highlander, and Russell Mulcahy. He's from Australia. So, all right, Mad Max, In Excess, Russell Mulcahy, Crowded House. I go down under. So Sydney is like my hometown.
Yeah. And you had mentioned in a Kaiju United interview that the visual effects has changed a lot in over 20 years. If you were to make this movie now, what would you have done differently with the technology and hopefully a bigger budget? His film was the most expensive Japanese Toho Godzilla film ever made, even more than both Shin and Minus One. But let's say you had the equivalent inflated budget, because we hit inflation. But with the technology now, what do you think you would have done differently?
I'd say I still want to go back to Manning Suit. Old school.
Sorry, a little dry.
You know, in the Minus One, you know, they are already doing a bunch of great, you know, VFX, you know, Godzilla movies. And 20 years ago, this was like, you know, the time was changing, especially in Japanese cinema. So I knew that this is going to be the last Man in Suit movie ever going to make, probably. And next, you know, whenever, I never trusted the producer of the Toho Studio was saying that this is going to be the final Godzilla. I mean, fuck off. At least that time, that's what they were saying. So I pretend that, you know, I was doing the final movie. So, but one thing I knew was this gonna be, no matter what, you know, the last Tokusatsu, you know, Manny, old school Manny suit kind of, you know, with a miniature, bunch of miniatures way of making movies. So that's why I really focused. You know, yes, I did use, you know, a lot of VFX as well, but I was really focusing on doing this classic way. So if I had bigger budget now, I probably want to go back and do that.
And, you know, something that you have, that all three of you have touched upon and mentioned, is that Godzilla has so many iterations, reiterations over the years, different eras. People, you know, really love either legendaries, or they love the end of the millennium, or the Heisei or Showa series. What is it about the character that you feel people really find that they love him? He will always be Godzilla, but he's flexible enough that people can say, you know what, I like this one, or I liked only director Kitamura's version, or I only liked Nakajima-san's version. What is it about the character that you feel that people can pick and choose eras that they like because the character is so flexible?
That's, I think you should ask these fabulous fans.
I mean, I don't quite know the answer for that, because I'm personally a big fan of the Showa era, obviously, and I really enjoy every single legendary Godzilla, because I think I'm not saying because I'm with these two gentlemen here. Like I said, when I was working on the Final Wars, Godzilla franchise was really going down. That's why, you know, the Toho decided to put, you know, the Godzilla to sleep for a while. So without the success of the legendary, you know, Godzilla universe, you know, I don't think I'll be here today, and I don't think these many people, or you know, people in the hallway would be here, and I don't think they ever get the chance to play Godzilla Kong. So, you know, I really have huge respect, and I enjoy every single, you know, legendary Godzilla movies.
What about thoughts from you two?
You're Godzilla. You go.
No.
I mean, I think for me, for weird 8-year-old Alan, Godzilla is a really cool power fantasy. It's like, yeah, if there was a problem, I'd turn up with a laser beam. And that's what I'd do. I'd fight it and then I'd shoot it with a laser beam. That's 8-year-old Alan being like, how would I solve all of the world's problems? Turn up, be strong, have a laser beam. But I think there's a core, you touched on it earlier, TJ, of we need help and Godzilla turns up to save us. But also, I also love in some of the films where Godzilla's the problem, like in Minus One, where humanity's like, whoa, guess we're doing this ourselves. So in that instance, Godzilla is a catalyst for humans to be better. And for us to overcome. But I like the fact that, you know, two things can be true. There's lots of cool options for you to choose from, so you don't have to feel shoehorned into liking only one version.
Can I ask how many of you guys like 80s music? Like, really like 80s music? How many of you are, like, Shania Twain fans?
Be honest. It's okay. No judgment.
That's cool. That's really, really cool. Are any of you, like, 90s music fans? Okay, we're covering, like, 40, 50 years of music. And if you raise your hand through all of those decades, that's your music. Mm. And you probably think, today's music is stupid. Like, stupid.
Because it is average.
Yeah, that. My parents would play the Beatles. I'm like, that is horrible. What are you playing? And I like something else. And then some of my students, I'll put on music and they're like, oh, cool, old school. I'm like, what do you mean old school? So everybody's got their thing. And if it was yours during your time, you are like, that is mine. You claimed it, and it is yours, and it is the best. And that is okay. So I'm proud to be the Godzilla of a generation, but I have my generation and I love those Godzillas, and I hope future generations will come forward and pick up exactly what we have tried to leave behind and respectfully leave behind us and take the flag further and further. I hope that our love for this genre continues through those people's efforts and your love for that, because I think we're all fans of this genre. It just depends which flavor.
Mm-hmm. You know, last year at G-Fest, Director Gilmore, it was Don Fry and TJ Storm. Their tables were right next to each other. And, you know, whenever we speak to Mr. Fry, he always speaks very highly of, like, he's like, no, being on his films, it brings people together. Directors get good people in the same room, and we get to know each other. And now this year, TJ is now sitting next to you. Did you see that in the future of your films, that you feel like, you know, they'll be at conventions and someone in my film is going to meet somebody else and all feel connected because they all worked on your project?
I didn't think about it, you know, even after 20 years it's like that, but I was hoping it, because, you know, carrying the Godzilla was a big responsibility when I was working in the movie, and I just, you know, dedicate 2 years of my life, you know, try to do the best. And yeah, I mean, I'm very, again, honored that to hear that, you know, Don Fry somewhere, maybe even now, he's at the convention somewhere and, you know, meeting the fans, and that's a beautiful thing. And because you brought it up, I'll tell you how wonderful it was to work with Don Fry. I mean, he was of course, you know that he's a legendary UFC champion, right? And he was fighting a lot in Japan those days, and when we were trying to cast for the Captain Gordon, which he played, you know, first one we went to offer was Jean Reno, who actually I worked, you know, on the movie called The Doorman. But he was too expensive. Then we went to Sonny Chiba, and he was way more expensive than Jean Reno. And then producer tried to cast Don Johnson. So I said, I mean, yes, I was a huge fan of Don Johnson, but that's when I said, you know what, you know, let's stop trying to get the big, expensive Hollywood star. And then I started looking for all those, you know, fighters, because it was a huge thing in Japan 20 years ago. So the first fighter I met was Mark Coleman, and he was amazing. And at the same time, I met Don Fry. But when I met Don Fry, I just immediately knew that when he walks into this Korean barbecue place in Japan, you know, when he walks in, I just knew that this is the Captain Gordon. And he'd never done acting, so he was very, you know, hesitant to do that. But I just kept on, you know, feeding him. eat more this and more this, and, you know, drink it up. And after 3 hours, I just said, hey, Don, just trust me. And I have faith in you, so you can have faith in me. So we became like a brother. And he was so funny on the set and even on the behind the scenes. So one day, so there was another cool action star in the movie named Ken Kosugi. And Ken Kosugi is the son of this legendary ninja actor, Sho Kosugi, and he's like super cool guy, always, and he doesn't really show his emotion. He's always like super cool.
Yuhei-san. Yes, yes, I understand. It was like, he's not that funny guy. So one day, that was the only time, I know Kenya for a long time, but that was the only time I saw him like losing himself. He just ran to me on the set and said, Yuhei-san, oh my God. So like, what happened, Kay? So she said, I just met Don-san backstage. And Don, even like, you know, cold time is like 6 a.m., he eats steak. You know, like huge steak to keep, like, you know, these kind of guys, they eat, they have to eat a lot, right? So Don-san was, yeah, I know, he was eating steak, right? The ribeye steak, giant one, yes. So what? That's not suspicious. No. The thing was, he finished eating steak, then he had his mouthwash, okay? So he did the mouthwash, and he did a lot, then he drank it. So like, oh, okay. Don't fry, don't know how to use mouthwash? Yeah, he drank it. That was the only time Kenny was losing himself, and it was so funny. So Don was always super funny in the set.
That's great.
Now we actually have, before I open up the floor to questions, we have a few things of note. This is the free print giveaway for all of you that made it into this room.
Oh. That's right.
Everybody should be getting a little ticket, and there should be, I believe you go to the Marriott Marquis or somewhere, and then you pick it up, you show them the ticket. This is done. Is it Grand Hyatt?
It's the Hyatt.
Oh, Grand Hyatt, excuse me. And this is done by Matt Frank, an official Toho artist.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the free print that you all will get. Now, we will open up the floor to questions, but before we do that, TJ Storm and Alan Henry will be on a second panel from 2 to 3 p.m. at the Neil Morgan San Diego Central Library. And there's directions to get there through Google. You have to go around Petco Park. And with that, if you guys do want to take photos or have anything signed with them outside in the hallway, we have to make sure that we do not block the doors. And Director Kitamura has a hard out at 12:30 for press interviews. When we open up the floor to questions, please no comments. One question each, please. Now, where can we... Oh, we're just going... Okay, we'll just raise our hands. I was looking for a microphone in the middle. We gotta go with you, Godzilla. I mean,
have to use your theater voice, darling.
So, Mr. Kitamura, first off, huge fan of your movie. I noticed in the credits for Final Wars, there's a lot of scenes that aren't in the final cut. Would you ever consider, or maybe ever want to do like an extended cut or release those deleted scenes, like so that you can just see them before?
You know what? I certify you. You are the number one fan of the
world. I mean, look at that. You're number one fan.
Thank you so much. Have a seat. You know, I met him in the hallway, and first I thought that he's wearing this, you know, custom handmade Godzilla, but it was from like a minus one. So I was like, eh. Then he said, no. This is from your movie. So I'm like, oh wow. Again, don't get me wrong, I love minus one. I really enjoyed minus one. So to answer your question. Yes, it was a long shoot. It was almost like 3 months shoot, and we had like 4 different units. My unit, second Tokusatsu unit, and the second unit, and also the, you know, international unit. Goes to Shanghai, goes to Paris, and so I had the insane amount of footage, and I tried hard, but the first cut was like 2 hours and, I don't know, 75 minutes or something, so I knew that I had to cut it out. So. But it was such a waste because I got a lot of interesting, you know, shots. So I decided to put some of them in the for that end credit sequence. But to answer your question, if I have a chance to do the director's cut, you know what? I'm going to make it much shorter.
Oh, you went the other way. You know, Snyder needs to take notes from you. Yes. We have a few other questions as well. Okay. Oh, you have a second. We'll start with you, you, and you. And then we'll end with the talk for yes. Yes.
I have a question. How would you feel if Destroyer shows up in a Monsterverse?
Which one?
Destroyer?
Destroyer showed up in Monsterverse?
Yes. How would you feel if Destroyer showed up in the Monsterverse?
I mean, you asking me or?
Like, in general, like, we know Destroyer killed Godzilla, and I wonder how Godzilla's going to face Destroyer in the Monsterverse.
I'm gonna kick that ass.
Next question. Somebody here. Yes. The lady with the hand up. Yeah, you have a beautiful shirt. Thank you.
For all of y'all, we've seen so many different, like, ridiculous scenarios and wild twists, different powers, different appearances, different, like, friends and foes of Godzilla, but what's a twist that we haven't seen in a Godzilla movie yet that y'all would like to see? Just for kicks.
Good question.
Well, I mean, my favorite, my own kaiju from Godzilla Final Wars is a Gigan, which is a cyber space monster, so if I get the chance, I'm going to see somehow Godzilla warped into the Gigan's world and do this whatever the Star Wars kind of crazy part is.
Yes. I don't know. A weird twist. That's a good question. A movie that's just King Kong learns how to be a dad. Just, you know, yep. Feeding Suko, dropping him off at school, dealing with the other Titan parents, yeah. Having to, like, share custody with Godzilla on the weekends, that kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, Star Wars? Yeah, Godzilla with the, yeah, lightsabers. That's how Kong fights Godzilla. He gets a lightsaber. Good. Excellent. Kathleen Kennedy, I hope you're listening.
Okay, King of the Monsters, answer.
I have a really big imagination, so I can think of a lot of things. The easiest this weekend is Deadpool.
Yeah.
And your question.
This is for the TJ and Alan. So who are some of your icons when it comes to, you know, not stop motion, but motion cap?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's not Andy Serkis.
It's fine. I know Andy. He's
the difference between Kong, your Kong, and his Kong are
very different. Yeah.
Yeah, very different. So,
I guess it's like the usual suspects. I have great admiration for TJ's work, as well as Doug Jones, phenomenal performer. One of my teachers was Terry Notary, who was Kong Skull Island. He and Toby Kebbell, who are great, fantastic performers. A good friend of mine, Ben Franchin from New Zealand, who was Peter in What We Do in the Shadows. Haru Nakajima, Rie Ota, you know, some phenomenal older suit performers who really lifted the bar. What else? It's weird because so many of us our colleagues, and they all do such good work, and I really, really value the work that we're all doing to not only to grow this industry, but also to, you know, the more we do it, the more opportunities pop up, and the better we all get. That's a long answer to your question. I apologize.
Okay. For those who want to be part of this future generation, TJ Storm runs his own school, and he has the official Haruo Nakajima Scholarship. So... to ismindseyetribe.com to learn more information and when the opening period is to submit. And, you know, then you get to learn from the King of the Monster himself, Godzilla, and take classes with him. The young gentleman with a question.
Mr. Kitamura, I wanted to ask, what is the most important thing to keep in mind when making a Godzilla movie?
Good question.
Godzilla is the king, and Godzilla is the hero, and you just shoot, you know. Godzilla. And, you know, forget the rest.
Yeah, you know, keep it nice.
Even forget the Kong. Just focus on Godzilla.
No, that's fair. He was asking about a Godzilla film. Now, if you want to make a Kong film, well, there you go.
Before we get to a question somewhere over there and there, you did have you wrote your hand first. He's one of the official convention photographers, but a huge Godzilla fan.
I want to ask the question that everyone has in the back of their mind that basically has been asked since the early 70s. When and who and what? When will we see Godzilla versus Gamera?
I don't know. I mean, that's a Toho versus you know, Japanese is not really good with, you know, collaborating, something like that. You know. They don't have really this, you know, WWE spirit. So, next time I go there and meet the executives of Kadokawa and Toho, I'll tell them. I'll give them a message. But, of course, Godzilla will crash Gamera. Of course. In a second. You know, shorter than the real thing.
Yes, we did have somebody waiting over here, but we'll get to you and the lady back. Yes, gentlemen.
First of all, Kitamura-san, thank you so much for Final Wars. I absolutely loved it. I introduced it to my 4 and 7-year-old nephews, and they're now massive Godzilla fans. They play with my vinyl figures. I have in a big hamper, and they'll jump it out as soon as they come visit. The 4-year-old, his first monster he got was your Final Wars guy, and he absolutely loves it. My question to you is there any of the monsters from the Showa era that you wanted to include in Final Wars, but
We, me and the screenwriter and the producer, we were playing with all kaiju figures and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, which kaiju gonna get in the movie. So, it wasn't really 100% my decision. You know, we all talked about it and we chose those monsters. But, my tiny regret is that I really wanted to put my version of Mechagodzilla in the movie, but because my previous two movies were Mechagodzilla already, so I kind of felt like it's disrespect to those movies, so I didn't do it. And you know, when the movie came out in Japan, it was like, you know, some people loved it, and you know, of course, a lot of people hated it because it was very different from the other Godzilla, you know, Heisei Millennium series. And I was surprised when I got attacked from hardcore fans, like, you know, why you didn't put this, it's not really the monster, Jet Jagger, do you know what? The hardcore fans were so angry at me that, you know, it's you crazy Ryuhei Kitamura, you should have put Jet Jagger in the movie. Yeah, so I didn't really like it, but I'm pretty much happy with the final choice we made. So the only tiny regret is I really wanted to create my version of Mechagodzilla.
And before we get to the last question for the young lady, I want to say it is very refreshing to hear from a director who worked on the films and say, you know what, I'm in a different era, but I like the legendary films. Because of the controversy and online and the way people said it, I think it's really heartwarming to see support from you and also from each other, because you two would watch his films, he would love your films. I think that's really important in our community. Thank you for expressing that. And we have one last question.
I was gonna say Space Godzilla. Yeah. Hell yeah. Those crystal shoulder pads? 1980s for sure. Hell yeah.
I love you.
Thank you very much.
I really love this kaiju called Violante. Put that in the next movie.
Yep.
I love it.
I'm excited to see the one that you haven't seen yet. There's something out there. And I'm interested in the new frontier. I love the history, and I love that we get to fight all of these that we know and love. But what haven't we seen? What is waiting in the darkness? That is interesting.
That's terrifying.
And to end with that, thank you everybody for coming out to the 17th anniversary of Godzilla panel. Before we exit over to my left, I believe your right, they are not allowed to give away their name tags and sign them. However, if you do have anything else they could sign, that would be great. Thank you, and oh yeah!
Do something! Quick! And one more. Three.
Wait! He's got a timer, sorry!
Alright, do something! Thank you!